Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. That's the straightforward teaching of Jesus, which you heard from him on Sunday morning in the Gospel, in the parable of the wedding guests, and his advice to not sit down in the highest place at the wedding in the kingdom of God, in the presence of God, but rather to sit down in the lowest place and let God be the one to exalt you and lift you up. That's a theme that keeps recurring throughout the scriptures in so many stories of the Old Testament and also of the New. God takes the humble things, the weak things, the despised things of the world and raises them up, while he takes the proud and the high and the lofty things and casts them down. We see that in the patriarchs, especially in the cases of Jacob and of Joseph, his son. We see it in King Saul, and again in King David in a different way, and also in David's sons. We see it in Jesus himself. We hear it loud and clear in the song of Mary, the Magnificat, which we just sang a paraphrase of. And we hear it just as clearly in the song of Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, which we're going to walk through a little bit this evening. Remember how the events played out in Hannah's life. Her husband had two wives at that time when everyone did as he saw fit in his own eyes. And as always, that caused problems. His other wife had children. She was exalted in that way, lifted up. Hannah had no children. She was barren. She was lowly. The other wife exalted herself too, looking down on Hannah and ridiculing her and making her life miserable, while Hannah humbled herself before the Lord. She turned humbly to the Lord in prayer, seeking his help and mercy. And the Lord granted her request. He exalted her, lifted her up. She gave birth to Samuel and then gave him to the Lord's service and then spoke the words that you heard this evening. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." You would think that Hannah would rejoice in that baby that had been born to her, finally, after all that time. You would think her heart would rejoice in her new status as a mother, finally, something she had longed for years, and had prayed for too. But no, her heart rejoices in the Lord. He is the reason for her rejoicing. His goodness and kindness are the things that make her heart glad, not the things he gave her, but the Lord himself. We would all do well to rejoice in the Lord and not in the things of this world, even the good things that the Lord has given us. As the psalmist says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you." When you can speak those words in truth, then nothing can take your joy away from you. Hannah says that her horn is exalted in the Lord. That image of a person's horn is common in the Old Testament. Think of the powerful horns of a bull or of an oryx, the symbol of the animal's strength and power. When the animal's horn is exalted, then his head is held up high in victory. When the animal's horn is bowed low, it's in shame and defeat. Well, Hannah recognizes that her strength, her horn, her victory are not from herself or in herself, but in the Lord. And it says she smiles at her enemies, although the Hebrew word really just means that her mouth is open wide toward her enemies, which is probably better translated, my mouth boasts against my enemies. Not boasts in herself or because of herself, but in the victory the Lord gave her as He exalted her. Because, she says, I rejoice in your salvation. She wasn't boasting in how wonderful she was that she finally gave birth to a son, but in how the Lord had graciously saved her from her barrenness and from her distress. She goes on, no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Only the Lord is truly holy. Remember, holy means set apart. Yes, set apart from sin and from imperfection, but also set apart from everyone else. In this case, set apart in goodness, in mercy, in deliverance. For there is none besides you. No one is this loving, this merciful, this powerful. Nor is there any rock like our God. No one and nothing so strong, so dependable. When the world is crumbling around us, our God is a rock like no other on which we can stand without any fear of crumbling. Talk no more so very proudly. We think first of Hannah talking to her husband's other wife, telling her to talk no more so very proudly. But her words apply to everyone. Talk no more so very proudly. There's no reason for anyone to go around arrogantly, to go around in a haughty way, talking against others. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Don't speak proudly or highly of yourself in the presence of others. Or act like you think you're better than others or more important than others. God knows the truth, who you really are. He knows all the bad, and He knows that if there is any good in you, it's from Him anyway. So the one who judges your actions should not be you. It should be the Lord. Just as the one who chooses your place for you at the wedding feast shouldn't be you. It should be the host of the feast. The bows of the mighty men are broken. Now, there were no men with bows and arrows attacking Hannah any part of this story. She isn't talking about herself anymore. This is what happens to the powerful of the world, to the wise, to the mighty, who exalt themselves and then go on the attack and oppose the Lord and His people. Sooner or later, God will break their bows and rescue His children from their attacks. And those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who stumbled, that's the Christians who live in humility, who don't run the race of this world powerfully and victoriously, who don't appear powerful and glorious, but who stumble along, running into this problem and that one, and often not knowing what to do. But in the end, the Lord will gird His people with strength, so that we stand not by our own strength, but by His. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. We have a similar expression in English. Those who are full of themselves, who have everything and boast about having everything, end up with nothing. And the hungry have ceased to hunger, As Jesus also says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Even the barren woman has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. God looked with mercy on humble Hannah in her barrenness and gave her children. Sometimes God doesn't do that very thing, even for humble Christian women. But Hannah is speaking figuratively, mostly. She didn't bear 7 children. It's an expression. The Lord heard her prayer and delivered her in just the way that he knew was best for her, and he did it generously. He did it for her. He does it for his people, even for us. And so it goes for the church. God blesses and prospers his church that appears barren and powerless in the world, and he gives life and salvation and only just the right amount of prosperity for a while he brings down the church that has many children, but that refuses to tremble at his word to preserve the true teaching of the gospel. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. Again, he humbles the proud, even to the point of death. He does that physically, but also spiritually, as he crushes the haughty, secure sinner with the law and its accusations. But he exalts the lowly, even to the point of raising the dead to life. He has done that physically in a few cases, and he will do it extensively at the last day. But even now, in a spiritual way, he raises up those who have been crushed by the law's accusations. He preaches the gospel, his good news to them, and gives them eternal life. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. It's the ultimate rags-to-riches story. When God takes fishermen and tax collectors and makes them apostles, when he takes a murderous Jewish Pharisee and turns him into the apostle to the Gentiles, when he takes poor, miserable sinners and turns us into children of God and into a kingdom of priests who will sit one day with Christ on his glorious throne. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. In other words, what God establishes, no one can move, and no one can establish himself without the Lord's blessing. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. This is how the story will end. In glory for the saints of God, in destruction and misery for his enemies who have exalted themselves. There's no doubt about it. The only thing we don't know is God's timing for it. But if we trust him to save us, then we also have to trust him to know when and how to do it. After all, he's proven his perfect planning and perfect timing by giving strength to his king. This is how you know that Hannah's song is not any more about herself at all. Israel has no king at her time. It won't have a king until after she's long dead. And the anointed king, Saul and then David and David's sons, they weren't around yet either. But she's talking not even about them, but about the king, the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, whom the Father allowed to humble himself and become obedient to death, but then exalted again to the highest place. By raising him from the dead and by placing all things under his feet and appointing him to be head over all things for the church. Again, as Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's the message of all the scriptures. It's the way it's always been with God. So always take the warning in that to heart. But when you do, then also rejoice with Hannah and with Mary and with Jesus himself. And know that the Lord will not break his promise to lift up the humble in due time. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.